and may the peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to Holy Family Radio. This is Deacon Jim Thorndale, and I'm privileged to be your host today. I warmly invite you to enter into another conversation in living the Catholic life. You know, in our Catholic life, there are so many avenues and gifts that have been given to us as children of God. And, you know, we all have different gifts, whether it be in preaching or teaching or whatever the gift may be. But one of the beautiful gifts that God has given to many of our brothers and sisters is the gift of music. And there is something about music, particularly in our liturgy, that really transforms the word, and it really brings us to a whole different understanding of being in the presence of God. And you know, I have a young man sitting here before me today in the studio. His name is Luke Svihar. He is a musician that God has given a beautiful gift to, and he is now sharing that gift with many people throughout the, not only in Michigan, but the United States. And it's a joy to have you here. Luke, thanks for being here.
It's such a pleasure, such an honor. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's wonderful. You know, there really is. There's something about music that transcends the human person. It really brings you into a different place. And I'm sure it does it for you when you play.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Isn't it a wonderful gift?
Oh, it's the honor of my life to be able to share it, Dad.
Yeah. You know, before we get into a little bit of the history of your life, let me ask you this question. When did you first discover that you had a gift for music?
I was really young. I was, oh, I don't know, probably five.
Wow.
Five, and I actually played the violin first.
Mm.
So I started with the violin. My mom always insisted on having music. When we would go to bed, we would be listening to music. And,
yeah.
So I remember listening really young. I mean, I was probably four or five and
yeah.
six, and I'd be listening to this music before I go to bed, and then I would be able to just kind of pick up a violin and kind of replay it.
Yeah.
So, these little kind of small songs, and I'd be able to just pick the violin up and kind of like, oh, this
wow.
is that song. Kind
what
of
a gift.
Find it. Yeah. Yeah.
What a gift from God. So let's, before we really get into your and I call it a ministry. It is a ministry for you.
Absolutely,
This gift of music. Let's learn a little bit about Luke, because I think it's important that the people understand who you are so that it gives you that credibility to speak of where you're going and where you've been.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Luke, I think you and I had a discussion before we came on the radio, but tell us a little about yourself. I know you were, born and raised Catholic?
Yep, born and raised Catholic. My family, I grew up until I was about seven in the Twin Cities,
okay.
So Minnesota,
okay.
Minneapolis, and then we moved up into the country about 40 miles north of the
okay.
Twin Cities. And, my family was very rooted in the Catholic faith, and, my uncle's actually a priest as well, Father Jeff Heward from the cities. And
wonderful.
And that was just always a part of our life. We had priests in and out of our home growing up.
Yeah.
My whole life. Yeah.
Yeah, and we know when you're under that influence, when you see that, you really learn what it means to be a man in the church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's a powerful witness to what it means to grow up strong in the Lord.
And I think one of the biggest blessings of that is that you get to see the spectrum of a way to live out your calling. And the vocations were very accessible in that sense to me.
Yeah.
You know, priesthood was not a foreign thing.
Right.
It was my uncle. It was still the mystery, but it was a lot more approachable.
Yeah.
I was able to approach priests with that human understanding
exactly.
that they're men,
yeah.
but they're also that participant in that remarkable mystery.
You know, you bring up a good point, Luke, because so many people aren't used to having priests in their homes, or they're not used to being around a priest, and the mystique to them is that these men are so much different than the other people in their lives. But the reality is, these are human men
mm-hmm.
who have been called by God to live a chaste and beautiful life in service to God. And so, when you have that appreciation of that, you really start to put the perspective of what it means to be called to be a priest.
Right, and I think patience too with yourself, you know, because
yeah.
it helps you just realize like we're all human,
yeah,
and really no one is perfect, you know, and so you can kind of let yourself grow And they're not where they are because they're always that way. I mean, exactly. They grew to where they are.
Exactly. It's a journey,
yeah.
And it's a transformation for all of us into becoming the image of Christ in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
So here you are in this journey, and I know somewhere in the journey you're sensing a call from God to maybe a particular life, maybe as a priest yourself. Is that correct?
That was right, yeah. Yeah, so... Again, you know, growing up with my uncle and many of his friends, priest friends in my house, I kind of saw the priesthood as something, well, that's something maybe the Lord could be calling me to do. And so right out of high school,
Let me interject for a minute. Did you have siblings?
I have two brothers and two sisters.
Two brothers and two sisters. Yeah. And did you go to a public or parochial schools?
You know, so we were homeschooled
growing
up for until I was about seventh grade.
Okay.
And then I went into the public school.
Okay.
So, and yeah, we did. I love sports. And so I was
wonderful.
I was in just about every sport we could possibly do. So through even the homeschooling part, I was still very involved in the public school system because of sports.
Sure. So, absolutely.
Yeah. So And reflecting on that, I had a lot of friends at Catholic schools and stuff, but yeah. I mean, the faith stays alive because of the family.
Of course. And that's one of the reasons I brought that up, because I want people to have an understanding, those listening, is that you can still foster vocations outside of a Catholic setting.
Oh, yeah.
As long as the family is the nucleus and the first and best teachers.
That's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I can really attest to that. I mean, because the... Yeah, I mean, you swirl around quite a bit, and the culture kind of swirls around us, you know. And,
exactly.
And like you say, if you're centered in the family with that faith, you know, it's amazing what you can stay focused on.
Yeah, it is.
And I had heard, you know, within me just kind of that draw to pursue the priesthood and just really discern where the Lord was really calling me to go. Because I knew I had... a number of gifts, and I was like, okay, well, where do these all go?
Exactly.
And looking at seminarians and different priests, I thought, well, I want to be like that. You know, I they have something very special, and I kind of want to learn.
Were you an altar boy?
I never was.
Oh, okay.
No.
Interesting.
Yeah, I never. It was very interesting. Fascinatingly enough,
yeah.
I don't think I ever served for a mass outside of the seminary. Until I was a senior in college, my fourth year in seminary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I served at the seminary.
Yeah.
But outside in a different setting. I think the only time I really served was my senior year for the Easter Vigil Mass.
I'll be darned.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting.
But again, I think that for me, the deeper... I think there was just something that I was sensing in the people and these men, you know?
Yeah.
And then I spent some time working actually in a seminary before I discerned into it. I was painting dorm rooms actually. So I needed a summer job and I was painting the dorm rooms at the seminary that I went to.
Yes.
And there were guys that were just, they were there and I had a lot of questions. That was right about the time when I was going to be confirmed. And, you know, and although I had this tremendous witness to the Catholic faith, as a junior in high school, I had a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting because a lot of those questions really weren't answered until almost after college, but it was the life.
Were they questions about our faith, or was it questions about a particular aspect of your journey?
You know, well, certainly both.
Okay.
I think that, you know, questions about the faith, questions, you know, that a lot of philosophical reflection
sure.
kind of answer,
okay.
or at least shed some light on. But questions concerning, you know, I had Protestant friends and I had atheist friends,
okay.
and they just had a lot of questions for me.
So yeah, of course.
So
you wanted to be an apologist.
Yeah, well,
you wanted to learn your faith better.
Right.
Okay.
So in a deep, yeah, I wanted to find that. Those answers for myself. And
were
for them.
You ever in a state where you were questioning your faith as to whether you're in the right church?
You know, I think I got to a state where I was convinced of God and that Christ was my Lord.
Okay.
And then I just said, Lord, where are you? Show me where you are the most, and I'll go there.
Yeah.
And that was a big. So I was very open-minded and hearted at that point. I was raised Catholic, but show me where you are, mm-hmm. and that's where I'll go. And the Lord revealed Himself in the deepest ways in through the Eucharist. For me, that was really the big.
Yeah, praise God.
Amen. And that really was, for me,
the very source and summit of our faith.
And He showed me there. I mean, that was, I said, where are you? And He really revealed Himself there to me.
Yeah.
And that that changed everything. It was a game-changing, a life-changing event.
Thanks be to God, you were listening.
Oh, He was pretty clear, too. You know? But amen. You know, I think that there's really, I think I was at a point where I was just kind of willing to go where He was going to show up.
Yeah.
And He just... as a musician, I very much praise and experience the Lord through music, which is one of the great strengths of our Protestant brothers and sisters.
Exactly,
you know?
Exactly.
But it just didn't quite get to where He revealed Himself in the Eucharist. That was really where it was just so deep,
yeah.
Such a deep experience. And I thought, no music, like Jeff Cavins talks about, no music, oh, yeah. No praise service.
That's right.
Can get to that place.
Yeah.
So
yeah. You kind of became a little bit like a Peter, and when God reveals Himself, you'd say, Lord, where else would I go?
Right.
This is the church. So you enter into minor seminary?
So out of high school, I discerned into the St. John Vianney College Seminary. It's in St. Paul. It's on the St. Thomas campus.
Okay.
And it's a college seminary, so you're a college student and a seminarian. So you're with... men and women in the classrooms, you're a St. Thomas student,
right.
And then you're also discerning if the Lord's calling you into the priesthood.
Okay.
And that was kind of immediately, and that was St. John Vianney College Seminary is where I was painting the dorm rooms, same
okay.
place.
So while you're in minor seminary, are you taking prep courses for major seminary at the same time?
So as for a minor seminary, you know, all priests take some philosophy.
Right.
And they call that pre-theology.
Okay.
And, you know, if you're coming into college or if you're coming into seminary after you've been through college, you would only take 2 years of what they call pre-theology.
Right.
And so I, as a college seminarian, you kind of spread out those 2 years in four. So I have so you have to study that philosophy. And that was my major, okay. philosophy major.
Okay.
And I was taking some courses that dealt with theology and kind of church background. We took two courses on the catechism,
mm-hmm.
but for the most part, the studying that I did was philosophical.
Right.
And we didn't really dive into the theological studies that like a priest would in major seminaries. So.
Exactly. So as you're going through, are you continuing to hear God's call? What's happening?
Yeah. You know, so each year, what was so beautiful about that, transforming time was that each year showed me the next step. It showed me what needed to grow and what needed to change.
Yeah.
And my uncle, the priest, always says that most men in seminary don't struggle with the call to priesthood. They struggle with the call to Christ. You know, that's the deeper struggle is that they're discerning whether or not they want to surrender their life to Christ or
yes.
not. And
that's a great... That's a great analogy. That's a great understanding too, because I think it's a tantamount to anything else is
right.
whether we're willing to really say, Lord, I submit it all to you.
Right. And I think that's the fight. You know, that was the journey for me.
Yeah.
Was each year I was noticing where I was not surrendering, you know, and where I had come to. You know, that I was still in a seminary and that I was still saying, Lord, I'm with my life. I'm going to lay down this college time. And,
yeah.
So each year I was growing just as a man and in my faith each year more and more. And, I really tried to sit back in the fact that I was 19, 20, 21, 22, and just say, even if I was called to be a priest, I still wouldn't, in a sense, I wouldn't be changing my lifestyle right now.
Exactly.
You know, it
exactly.
still means that I dedicate my life to studies and to learning and to growing and to let the Lord in and out, you know? And, so I tried to just rest in that, you know, and, and just live, just really just live in that time,
yeah,
and not be thinking, well, once I become a priest or once I become married, that's when I'll kick it all into gear, you know?
You know, I always, Luke, I say this, praise be to God for the wisdom of the church, because she allows us the opportunity to discern in or out of the vocation that we're the one you are into, mm-hmm, priesthood. And, you know, it's a beautiful understanding that, and I hope to God that no man ever sees it as a failure if they discern out, because it really, mm-hmm, is an understanding that God, in his infinite mercy and wisdom, has not called you into that, but yet we have the sense that we at least have to answer some type of internal calling that we have to see where God wants to lead us. And so in his infinite wisdom and mercy, his discernment process was wonderful. I mean, I remember that as a deacon going through what we called scrutinies, and every 6 months you would be really sit before a board to see if it was a calling or, yeah, if it was just a personal want. Mm-hmm. And the church is very wise in finding out.
Yeah.
And finding it out, so by the grace of God. So when did you finally decide that maybe seminary wasn't going to be your vocation?
Yeah. And I just wanted to back up just for a second.
Please.
To say that, you know, I think that's so true. Like, I think that that was a wonderful thing that as seminarians we really called each other on. You know, yeah, when guys would discern out. And if you knew the discernment and the guy had lived well through seminary, mm-hmm, it was truly, I mean, there was the grief of like, hey, we saw you as a brother priest possibly, but thank you so much for entering into dying to yourself this, yeah, time, and we would rejoice, I mean, really would, you know, be happy and joyful that these guys had discerned into the marriage, yep, vocation or,
right,
whatever. And it was so interesting because, you know, the way it's seen outside is, you know, what went wrong? Like, what happened? I, yeah, mean, you were in. You almost made it, you, yeah, know?
Exactly.
You're just like, yeah, well, the Lord.
They don't think of the heart of the church.
Right.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the Lord is calling you. And I think, again, the holiness draws men in, you know? The, yeah, holiness draws in. And then the Lord used that, especially in my life, I would say. He drew me in and said, this is where I want to grow you and help you find who you are.
Yeah.
For you know, so far, a completely different but not unrelated mission.
Of course.
And of course. So when I discerned out, so to kind of answer your question, my I was a senior. I was a senior fourth-year student in the seminary, and so it was my last year. So everyone was kind of, like I like to say, we were coming down to the bottom of the funnel, mm-hmm, you know?
Exactly.
You got to come out somewhere. I mean, you're like, you know, you start kind of with this big kind of broad strokes and like, what's the Lord calling? And all of a sudden it starts getting faster and,
yeah,
you come into a place where you're going to go somewhere, kind of like the end of high school, you know, like,
sure,
high school is ending. Now what?
Yeah.
I mean, college is ending. Now what? And, so I remember as a senior, and I had, you know, through all my seminary experience, I had a very close relationship with I still do, but my family was very instrumental in really kind of leading me and kind of asking the right questions, like, how are you doing with this? Like, how are you as a person going through this?
Let me interject here.
Yeah.
How was your family taking it that you were discerning the priesthood?
I mean, there was maybe a bit of a surprise right away.
Okay.
And I think, you know, I was pretty quiet about it. Like, when I had discerned in, I think I just said to my mom, I said, I'm going to go and discern to be a priest. I'm going to the seminary. And she's like, well, you know, this kind of never came up before. And I told her that kind of my senior year,
yeah,
of high school. And so I think there was definitely a surprise factor.
Okay.
But always support.
Yeah.
Always support. And, you know, certainly with my uncle being the priest, and just I leaned on him so much to say, hey, this is what I'm feeling. What did you feel? And,
yeah,
am I, you know, is this okay? And it's just, you know, it was because there's definitely, you know, you go up and down so much.
Of course.
And so always supportive. And, you know, my mom, you know, I think my eyes were open to how much a mom can desire for her son to be maybe married and for grandkids to come, mm-hmm, you know, and so at a certain point I'd be like, you know, she's like, you know, if the priesthood doesn't work out, I know, I'm like, mom, you know,
a gentle reminder.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to, yeah. just to, you know, keep you in the loop. I'm like, believe me, I'm aware of who's around.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, there, it was good. It was really good. And always, always very supportive to say wherever the Lord is calling you, you know. And
if, and from just what I'm gleaning from you, Luke, is you had a very, discerning family that they would never want you to step outside of God's will, right. And I can sense that within you that they were always praying what was in your best interest. I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah, and they made it known. I mean, they said that from when we were born, they would always pray that we would follow the Lord's will wherever it would be.
Yeah.
You know, single life, priesthood,
exactly,
wherever it be, married life, that we would find our spouse.
Okay,
and. So yeah, I think so. I came coming into my senior year, and I was praying a lot, and my deep prayer was, Lord, I've been here for now 4 years. I really feel like I've put myself and made myself very available. I'm not feeling the passion to go on to major seminary. Like I see it as a good, but I'm not quite passionate about it.
Yeah,
And I at the same time I was playing a lot of music for outreach events, and we had a really cool kind of last chance mass, we call it. It was at 9:30 at night, and it was for the college students, and they would come stumbling in, you know, last chance.
Of course.
And I would play just some quiet meditation music, and I'd been doing that for 3 years, and it was just the mass had grown from maybe about like 20 people to like 400.
Praise God.
It just blew up. And amen. And so it was, that was kind of being affirmed to me that I had this gift of music, and I didn't really know how it was going to be used. I mean, it's not really in a sense liturgical music, like in the mass setting necessarily. Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. for a few different parts of mass, but not as we would kind of know classically liturgical music. So I was kind of like, I don't really know where this belongs, and but that was really growing in me, and I was really feeling a passion and a fire build in me for that. And so my senior year, again, I was kind of coming up, and I'm like, Lord, where are you calling me? And that was right about the time when I first recorded my first, first recordings I did, which was my first album, Be Still. And we had put it out to the college. I was going to do a CD release concert, you know, the kid at Mass, because no one knew who I was.
Of course.
No one knew my name. And they said, the kid that plays at the Last Chance Mass is doing a concert. And, you know, so if you want to come, show us, free concert, whatever. And we put the word out, and we kind of came down to that concert date. And I walked in, you know, I was behind, kind of came out to the crowd, and you know, so about 400 people showed up to that.
Oh, boy.
And I was like, all right.
I took your breath away.
Here we go. Yeah. Well, what was really an incredible experience was I had, because I swam competitively at college as well.
Okay.
And my swim team had made it to, had a good shot of winning the conference. And so I was at this meet like 1 week before my concert. And I was, you know, cheering, us screaming, because we won, you know. So I was yelling and screaming.
There goes the voice.
And gone it went. Yeah, I mean, it was. So I lost my voice, and then I got sick. So leading up to my concert, I couldn't sing until the day of my concert. But I thought, you know, we're not going to shut this thing down. If nothing else, I'll just play.
Yeah.
And but I was just like, you know what, we're not canceling this concert. I'm, you know, and I just. Felt that the Lord was going to bless it. And so literally the first time I was even able to sing was in the warm-up, you know, kind of the sound check 2 hours before the show. And I just started humming, and my voice started coming back. And
yeah.
If you listen to that concert now, like it was kind of recorded, if you can listen to it now compared to what I sing when I'm healthy, it's night and day difference. But I was able to do a 14-song set.
In God's providence, he allowed it.
And yeah, I mean, it was one of the most, I think, affirming and truly, it really emptied me and I just had to lean. I mean, just pour myself out, and Lord, literally, my hope is in you. That's all I have.
Yeah.
I don't. I know. I've been doing everything I can, but literally, unless you show up,
yes,
I won't be able to do this concert. And it was really an incredible experience for me to just sit down, voice had come back, just enough to play.
Yes.
And then, and for that many people to come. And so that was really kind of where it turned for me. And I thought, this is what I love, you know.
Amen.
I love, this is a gift. And I really felt it at the time. This was such a gift that I could sing and play this concert. And I think I should lean into this. So I remember saying to my dad, I said, you know, I remember him asking me, he goes, do you want to go on to major seminary? And I said, no.
You knew then.
Yeah. And I think the Lord just kind of showed me where my deeper passion was.
Yeah.
And it was a discernment. You know, sometimes the bigger question I was asking when I was in seminary was, Lord, are you calling me to administer the sacraments, you know? I know you're calling me to pour my life out, to give everything.
Yeah.
It's all going to take supernatural grace to love even a wife the way you're calling me to.
Right.
And it's all poured out. It's going to take everything. So that is the same as the priesthood, yeah. You know? But what's the difference?
He was calling you to be sacrament, perhaps to another person.
Yeah.
And I know right now that you're dating a young lady, so maybe that's where you're being called to be a sacrament, yeah. Too.
Yeah. And daily I go.
Amen. Amen.
But... Yeah,
no, I just want to remind our listeners, this is Deacon Jim Thorndale. You're listening to Holy Family Radio. I am with musician Luke Svihar, and we're talking about his ministry and his music, which we're going to get into very soon. Luke, let's get back to this then. So you've discerned out of seminary, or to major seminary, and now you have a ministry that's been going on, and you're active in this ministry now. It just goes by your name, correct?
Right.
Luke Svihar.
Yep. Yeah.
And I know we've talked about it. You've got a third album right now. It's called All Is Gift.
Yeah.
And so before we go any farther, maybe this would be a good time to hear one of your songs, if it'd be so gracious to have one for us.
No, that sounds great. And I think what might be helpful for me is to give a little bit of a backstory on even how this album came up.
Please.
Because it's another testament to the Lord's love. So I had recorded two albums. By the time that I was about to record my third album, and my right at this time, my brother was all during the time of seminary. My brother was my older brother was going through training to be a Navy SEAL, and so we were kind of in training together.
Yeah,
and so he finished up his training about the time that I finished up, you know, my seminary time. So. He was deployed a couple times, and that was right about the time that I graduated, and I had gotten on the road, and I was traveling. And so he came back from a deployment and then had an opportunity to go and work with SEAL Team 6 and on what they call an augment. So they were going to pull him in and see how he could perform.
Right.
And during that time, this was August... In August 2011, so August 6th, he was with a group of 17 SEALs, 31 total, in this helicopter and was shot down.
Oh.
So this kind of spurred all sorts of a pretty tremendous ripple effect in all of our lives. But I had been traveling as a musician.
I don't mean to be... But did he survive?
No, he was killed.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I appreciate that. It's... I think, again, it's helpful to kind of tell this story because, again, it shows the Lord's providence in such an incredible way.
Yeah.
And I think it would, again, I have a song that I want to share, and I think this sets it up so you can understand what the Lord had done. So I was asked by some of the SEAL, when this happened, so like if you have a brother in the SEAL teams and he dies, they send out a couple SEALs to be with you, kind of company, and make sure everything kind of goes right.
Yes.
And one of those that was with us kind of coordinated events for the Navy SEAL teams, and he was putting on an event, the West Coast Memorial Service, and so that he asked me, he knew I sang and played, and he said, would you consider sharing a couple of these songs with our with this community, you know, for this West Coast Memorial Service?
Yes.
And so I said, well, yeah, certainly. I mean, I think I want to, because when a big tragedy like that happens, you want to do whatever you can to kind of help and give back.
Exactly.
And I knew that I had this gift to give. And even though I didn't know, I really had no idea how I was actually going to do it. I mean, I just didn't.
It could be an emotionally charged time.
Oh, remarkably. And yeah. I really didn't know how I was going to do it, but I knew I had to try. Like, yeah. I knew I had to at least give it a shot.
Exactly.
So the song that I want to sing here is a song called The Champion. I sang this song for the families of the fallen.
Yes.
And this West Coast Memorial Service ended up to be about 3,000 people, big church. We did it in a big church, and most of which were SEALs, active SEALs and military, and then their families.
Yes.
And also the families of the fallen were there too. So this song went out to them, and just as a really just to say, you know, lean on your family, lean on your faith to get through this time.
Yeah.
Let's do it together. And yeah. So this is a song called The Champion. I think that it just kind of helps with the context. So I wrote this song actually back in high school.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Luke Spiehar is going to play for us really probably a dedication to his brother and all fallen SEALs.
I can climb mountains, I can swim oceans, I can run anywhere I please. I can be the champion. I will go wherever you call, for I know my strength. Champion.
been listening to Luke's Vihar, and really a profound song of the champion. If you aren't here in the studio, you couldn't see it, but I know he's pouring his heart and his soul out to the Lord in that song for his fallen brother, the Navy SEAL. Luke, let me ask you this question. How could you ever imagine getting through something like that without your faith?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of laugh because it's almost ridiculous, you know?
Yeah.
Gosh. You know, it was one of those moments, especially when I was asked to sing for that memorial, where I knew, like, I wasn't going to be able to do it with my own strength. I just knew, like, where I was, I just knew I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And so I was praying, but at the same time, it was just a really calm recognition that I was not going to be able to do it. So it was, I mean, I wouldn't even say I was pleading that the Lord would get me through. It was just like, Lord, you know,
yeah.
You know that I can't do that. So, but I've been asked.
You're living above and beyond yourself.
Oh yeah. Way out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're out on the limb,
yeah.
You know? And, I remember singing that song at the memorial and just feeling like I was literally riding the front of a huge wave of grace. Like just, and I was just riding it. There's really no way to describe it. I was just, it was certainly the Lord's strength just pouring out through me, and I just knew that. I knew that there was a very special moment that the Lord was trying to reach out through me
exactly.
To those people in that audience. And I knew that I was that vehicle,
yeah.
And I just tried to rest in it and just let it flow out of me, and I just knew that that was the case.
Has your music been a healing factor for your family also?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Yeah, I think so. And, you know, when you go through that, something like that, what is interesting is as a family, especially if you're close, you're all feeling it and you're feeling each other's feelings, you know?
Yeah.
And
you can't help but feel them.
Yeah. And that's love. I mean, that's what the intimacy of love brings you into, that closeness, that empathy so close that you feel it.
Exactly.
Others' pains.
Exactly.
So I think that... yeah, I think that there was healing. I think it was helpful. I think it was helpful.
I can't imagine it wasn't. Yeah. It had to be, because it's just helpful for me to hear you, to see you, and just have this understanding of how you're pouring out this, your love for your brother and the love for all those that were champions, and really this understanding of how in God's providence he can bring us healing. But through this, you know, God always has something else in mind for us when these things happen, and we have to be attentive to what he's going to send our way.
And that, I mean, that's a perfect way to set it up. I mean, because that's kind of what spurred on my third album. I mean, that's that. So, like, through that memorial, and I knew it was just going to be a transitional time. Like,
yeah.
I knew that that was going to be something that if I got through it and the Lord blessed that, things were going to change for me. And they really did.
Yeah.
So it was actually through that memorial, and then just to be very close to the SEAL community and their friends, you know, are good friends to have. And,
absolutely.
It's good to have some Navy SEAL buddies, you know.
Yeah, I want a few of those.
I feel very safe. But it was really kind of just an incredible divine providence, another step in just a remarkable divine providence. But I had been praying for a while that the Lord would send me a mentor that would kind of help me and guide me and lead me in my music, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we call it a ministry. I mean, I feel that it's a ministry because it ministers.
Of course.
But it's so interesting because, like any gift, it's the gift that wells up. It, you know, is a painting a ministry, you know, maybe, but it's just the gift that the Lord is trying to pour out.
Amen.
I don't mean to, but it's just by naturally doing what you're created to do, you're ministering. I mean, you could call it a ministry, you know?
Yes.
So,
but it is. But whenever you're proclaiming the Lord and really talking about his love, you really are in a ministry that God is calling you into.
Right.
Yeah.
And I agree. I don't want to confuse it. I just, it's interesting because I think people that are following what the Lord has put in their heart to do.
Yeah.
Are living out a ministry.
Exactly.
And when they give credit to the Lord, the due credit to the Lord.
Amen.
It's even more powerful.
Amen. You know, and you're talking about having Navy SEALs as friends, and I'd be remiss in not saying that you're here today with Father David Neuschwander. Is that pronounced that
yep,
correctly?
Yes, that's right.
He's from also from St. Paul, Minnesota.
He's from Hudson.
Oh, Hudson.
Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin,
yeah.
Okay.
Close by.
I know you're traveling with him.
Yeah.
And I would really be remiss if I didn't say that one of your good friends is Father Charles Schwartz here in Grand Rapids.
That's right.
Yeah. And, you know, I had just seen Father Chuck not long ago at an ordination. And so he had mentioned that you and I are going to be getting together.
Yeah.
And I just had to interject that because I just remembered that. But let's go back to that ministry now.
Yeah.
In this ministry, and so what starts to happen, Luke, because, now I won't say in spite of, but because of the playing at with the Navy SEALs, obviously people mm-hmm. are starting to pay attention more to Luke Svihar.
Right. And so this was really cool. Like I was saying that I've been praying, Lord, send me kind of a mentor, you know, and I had been challenged to kind of seek that out in my life, that a mentor, someone you kind of get under and really respect what they're saying mm-hmm. and grow under them. So I've been praying for that. And after the memorial, there was some friends, some of the SEALs that were there had mutual friends with an incredible musician. And they said, I don't know if you've ever heard, they called me and said, Luke, have you ever heard of Ben Harper? And I said, yeah. I mean, Ben Harper was like some of the very first songs I ever learned were Ben Harper songs. And they said, well, we just met him. We met him and we were at his concert right after your memorial service where you played at the memorial service, not mine, but right after where you played at the memorial service. And we met him, and then we gave him your music. We were so touched that we gave him your music. And I said, well, that's great. Thank you. And they said, he really likes it. So they said, yeah, Ben Harper really likes your music, and he wants to be in touch. Can we give him your information? I said, yeah. So Ben Harper has been, he kind of crosses a lot of lines from, he has some incredibly spiritual and Christian message songs, mm-hmm. but then he kind of crosses the line into kind of the more secular venues too. Okay. But he has three Grammys, and so I was, and not only that, but again, just this kind of, I was a huge fan and still am, just a huge fan of this guy. So he reached out to me and said, I've heard your music, I really like it, I'm a big fan, and I want to be in touch.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay,
wow.
I'm for it.
Yeah.
So we talked on the phone. I remember he sent me an email and just said, you know, I'm a big fan. Let's get in touch. I'd like to meet you. Here's my number. So I called him and I thought, you know, I don't know exactly what I'm going to say here.
That's a spirit move.
Yeah. And so I called it, gets to the answering machine. I said, you know, Ben Harper, this is Luke Svihar. You know, got your email, thanks, and looking forward to talking to you. And then I hung up the phone, and it was actually on my birthday of all dates, but it was on my birthday. And he calls me right back. So I looked down, I had his number saved on my phone.
Of course.
It says Ben Harper. And I'm like, holy Lord, help me now, you know? So I answer the phone, and hello, this is Luke Ben Harper. And I was an incredible moment for me. And
I'll bet.
He goes, I'm no expert, but I love what you're doing. I love your music. And I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I think the Grammys kind of qualify you as an expert.
Absolutely.
So I said, he goes, I'd love to meet you. I'll fly you out to L.A. or I'll come to Minnesota. I want to meet you. And he goes, I'm thinking about you for a tour. And I'm doing a solo acoustic tour in the fall. And I'm thinking about you. For that, would you, you know, so I'm thinking, yeah,
like, wow,
sounds good to me. So that actually came to be, I opened for his first solo acoustic tour, and truly one of those just remarkable, it's hard to put into words what, you know, I watched him warm up to the song that he had written, that it was one of the very first songs I ever learned. I'm watching him warm up to it, and I'm thinking,
yeah,
Lord, what have you done? You know, this is incredible. And what's amazing, reflecting on it, is like, that's nothing for the Lord.
That's right.
It's nothing, you know. Here's a Grammy, three-time Grammy-winning artist, my hero growing up.
And now you're playing with him.
Now I'm opening for him, opening and that's for nothing him. For the Lord.
Yeah,
it's just nothing. I mean, I really realized that wow, Lord, like this is one of the most incredible things. What an amazing gift. And this is like nothing for you.
He said, "You ain't seen nothing yet."
Yeah, and that's right. And that right. It gets me pretty excited for that. But so I opened for that. It was really kind of an incredible venue. So we were playing concert venues, like orchestra hall type venues. Across the country, like the last show that he did was finished in New York at Carnegie Hall. That was his last show.
Wow.
So we were playing kind of the Carnegie Halls of each city as I was opening. It was neat because I opened and he closed. That was the show. And
wonderful.
It's hard to put into words. And again, I just, you know, trying to stay close to the Lord and praying through that and just, you know, trying to be bold and just say, this is who I am. And look what the Lord has done, and this is now we're not even a year after my brother had died, so it was pretty remarkable turnaround for some just kind of life changing events, like so many in a row. So then after that tour, I said, Ben, you know, I've got a third album worth of songs, and you've mentioned it a couple times, get me in the studio. What do you think about us recording this third album? He said, let's do it, and. So, you know, that's what kind of made the album possible, was that he was willing to kind of get on board with it. And so he as a fan, what was kind of amazing about it was he's not an album, he's not a record label or management. He was just a fan. He's like, I'll pay for the time that you can spend in my studio.
Wow.
And then we'll see where
it goes. What a gift from God.
I mean, blatantly.
Yeah.
You know.
It's a beautiful, beautiful gift from God.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you know, we sat together, we worked on the album shoulder to shoulder with my other producer, Sheldon Gomberg, who also has a few Grammys, or our Grammy, as a playing artist.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, two Grammys as a playing musician, and then also as a sound engineer for Ben's album, Get Up, which he dedicated one of the songs to my brother Nick on that album, and they won the Grammy for it. So it's just a remarkable story. I mean, I tell it almost as in the third person. Like,
yeah.
I can't believe this happened to me.
You know, you talk about having the Navy SEALs around you for protection, but look what God has given you in the musicians. He's put the ultimate Navy SEALs of the musicians all in your protection.
Yeah.
And really directed you in this beautiful ministry. So I know you had just been here in Grand Rapids, and you were doing some memorial here. Tell us about that a little bit.
Right. So there's the military community is a remarkable family, really. And the parents and the siblings of people in the military it's just a big, big family. And the SEAL community is even a tighter family in some ways. And so I had been, after the memorial and different things, the Navy was, and the SEAL community was very interested to have me come back and sing for different memorials for other people who had fallen, other SEALs that had fallen.
Yes.
Funerals and just memorial services for them. So I played a handful of those, and then military retreats as well.
Okay.
And one of which was kind of a similar situation, about a year after, a little over a year after my brother had died. A Navy SEAL locally here, David Worson, was killed also in a helicopter crash. Mm. And, so the Navy, and he died with another man, Feeks, his last name Feeks. So the Worson and Feeks memorial, they had a Worson and Feeks memorial service on the West Coast. And the Navy reached out to me and said, would you consider playing for this memorial? And I, you know, yes, certainly.
Of course.
So I went out and played for them for that memorial and met the Worsons, and they live here in Grand Rapids.
Yes.
And, It's a pretty remarkable connection we could have. David has three brothers, and so I was able to just meet them and really kind of share something special, kind of tragically special, but we were able to relate on such a deep level. And so
it helped the family make sense of it.
Yeah, yeah. Or just sharing it. I mean,
yeah.
it's hard to make sense of a tragedy
right.
ever, you know? So,
in sense, in a relationship with God, perhaps, I mean,
yeah.
is that we can't understand God's mind, but at least we can have comfort
Right.
That he's in control.
Yeah. And that he can, I mean, I think one of the wonderful things is that my life has been a testament to what can come out of tragedy.
Yeah.
That the Lord can use every tragedy Amen. For even a greater glory, yeah. you know. And so.
Luke, I want to be able to have you play another song before we run out of time. But
sure.
I also want people to be able to get your music.
Yeah.
And I know the last name is spelled S-P-E-H-A-R, but tell people how they can get your music.
Yeah, so. I'm on, you know, you can find my music through iTunes, just Luke Spehar. You can look it up, okay. Luke Spehar. I have a website, lukespehar.com. I'm on Twitter and Facebook. be patient with me with my posts because I'm not the best at that, you know. And but that's the best way to follow me is actually through my website, lukespehar.com.
And that's spelled S-P-E-H-A-R.
A-R, yep.
Yes.
S-P-E-H-A-R. And, that's really the best way to get to me, yeah. Send okay. me an email. I love that, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
Luke, before I run, we'd love to have you gift us with another song if yeah. you'd be so kind.
That'd be great.
Do you want to give us any background on this next one?
Yeah, that'd be great. So again, the this song I wrote, I think it was my senior year in seminary.
Okay.
And it's a song called All Is Gift, and it was just of the meditation that everything we have is a gift. Someone had said that to me, remember, Luke, everything you have is a gift. And
yes.
I fought that in my heart for years. And I'm like, you can't be. I'm self-made, you know?
That's right. That's what we think.
And the Lord really just really kind of crushed me down and said, no, you're not. I made you and your family made you. And there's so much to be grateful for. Remember that everything is a gift.
Amen.
And so I took that as the title of my third album, All Is Gift. And yeah, I think that really kind of captures it all. I like to leave that, especially in the just that meditation for people that
yes.
just remember. And the I guess the most wonderful posture I've found is just gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Mom and Dad, my parents, everything. You know, my siblings. That's really where. It's a wonderful thing to just keep in mind.
Right. Again, this is Luke Spehar. Playing off his third album, All Is Gift.
Into this dust, withdraw your
This gift was withheld until my hands, wearied of grasping, slowly opened to fully receive.
Beautiful. You were listening to Luke Svihar off of his third album, All Is Gift, and it was a thank you, Luke. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. It was really inspiring to think that all we have, all we are, and everything we've been given is a gift from God, and just pure and simple. His abounding grace is just continues to pour out on us.
Yes, amen.
Yes, and it was a Luke. This has been a wonderful hour. I can't believe it's almost gone. And I've learned a lot about God's gifts, because when you sit with an artist like you, and you see the capabilities, and you're a young man, all the gifts He's pouring out upon you, and the journey you've been on, not only the seminary, but the tragedy of your brother, but all these things in God's providence brings you to where you're at. How could you have ever seen this or known this?
No, I there's no way.
Yeah, you can't even imagine what God has in store for those who love them. Mm-hmm. And we continue on with this. Now, I know we're sending you back to St. Paul, Minneapolis. That's where you live, correct?
That's right.
And I know you said you might have a little bit of an interest there in getting home. Is that correct?
Yeah. No, she's waiting.
That's wonderful.
That could be my wait. Yeah.
That is wonderful. And that's, again, there's God's providence at work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not suggesting it's going anywhere, but, God continues to lead us, doesn't he?
Absolutely.
And then where are you going to be playing next?
So I actually go home for just a couple of days, and then I'm out to Denver.
Okay.
I'll be out in Denver for just a little while, a couple shows out there.
Okay.
And then... back home.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to remind everybody, you've been listening to Luke Svihar on Holy Family Radio. And again, you can reach him at Luke Svihar, SPEHAR.com.
LukeSvihar.com.
And you can find him on iTunes also.
That's right.
Luke, I want to thank you for being here. I know you've got a long ride ahead of you. I pray that you and Father David will have a safe journey home, and that the Lord will continue to bless you and your family, all of your siblings, and that wherever God is going to lead you, that you will continue to be open to His graces and His mercy and His providence. And I know you will, because you're a man of the Lord. So, again, thank you for this gift. And, we just want to say that it's been a pleasure to have you here. I hope our Holy Family Radio audience will really kind of take a chance and go onto iTunes, go onto your website, and really listen to your music and really have the sense of the heart that you have for the Lord. Mm. And I know that all is inspired by God. I'm sure of that, Luke.
Mm. Amen.
It's really been an outpouring of your spirit on here, and we can tell it just in the sense of who you are. But again, thank you for being here. I want to thank all of our Holy Family listeners, and as always, we say, may God bless and keep you safe.
Amen. Well, thank you. It's been such an honor.
Thank you. God bless.
Been listening to Living the Catholic Life with your host Deacon Jim Thorndale on Holy Family Radio. If you'd like to listen to this program again or share it with a friend, audio copies are available online at holyfamilyradio.net. Thank you for listening.